Friday morning to you, one and all. This is Pastor Jay Rouse, and today we are given the task, the duty, the privilege, and most certainly the honor of sending a word and hearing a word from the Lord on this very important and most holy of times, our Holy Week, when we had to remember the suffering of our Lord and the recalling of what he's gone through and what he's done for us. It's unfortunate that we have to be reminded, but it's a good thing that we always remember. I believe when he broke bread and he told us to have communion, because he said, do this as often in remembrance of me. And so today we break bread with you. We sup and dine in that last supper and recall not only the glory of what he brought to this world, but certainly what he went through to save the world. I thank you again for joining us. You can feel free to listen to the sermon after. We will automatically it will set itself up, and then we can actually program it so you can listen anytime and as often as you would like. We encourage you to contact us at any time. You can always reach us through social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Pastor J. Rouse. And today, obviously, is brought to us through and courtesy of Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. And we pray that you're all well and blessed. And in a moment and in a mindset of trying to remember and recall your first love, amen, we're going to be right back, and then we're going to get ourselves prayed up. And then we'll dive into the scriptures and see what the Lord has for us today. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there?
Were you there?
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, words can't begin to express the gratitude that we feel, not just any day, but especially this day. We know it can't be easy to give your very best, to sacrifice your very best. And to do that, your one and only, for us, for sinners. Although we are not worthy, you seem to find us worthy. And again, we can't express why or how, but all we can say is thank you. Father, as we prepare to hear from you, and as we remember the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice made this day by our beloved Jesus, that we would not only hear the word, but we will meditate on the word, and we would share the word, and we would live the word, and certainly be the word of God. Help us to recall and retain. Today we don't ask for anything. We don't pray and ask for things that we would normally ask for, because today we give ourselves to you because of what you've given for us. I would ask that you would use me this, Lord. You called me and I answered. Be ever present in the word. I anticipate it and expect it. We leave it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mary, did you know
John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we for grace. I'm going to read verse 17, and it says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. May the Lord add a blessing to his reading, the hearing and the doing of his most holy word. This is Jesus, you're my everything, as we prepare to hear from the Lord.
Let me hear you in here. shed every tear. So if you know him to be your father and he cares for you, come on and stand on your feet and help me praise him in here. Come on, come on.
The cross, you did that just for me, but he didn't do it just for me. He did it for you, too. Amen. He did it for everybody. Praise God. I think of the song, at the cross, where the word says, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ, the mighty Maker, died for man, the creature's sin? Thus might I hide my blushing face, while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes in tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt I love, the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I could do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Today's sermon is entitled Gathering Grace. Now, to know what grace is, you have to begin to understand what the definition of grace is. So I took it upon myself to look up grace, and there were several definitions, and despite what some of them said, they all seem to just focus on the importance of the grace that not only did Jesus have to gather, but the grace that he gave away. Now, according to Wexford, and it's not Webster, it's not because I'm any partial to Oxford. Of course, Oxford is my first choice being British. But it says here in the definition when it says unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. A virtue coming from God. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. I'm going to read that one again because I think that's important. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. Then there's the one that gives it more along the line of an approval or favor. To stay in good graces. It considered like a special favor, a privilege, an honor. It also refers to mercy and pardon. It's a disposition to or an act of instance of kindness, courtesy, or clemency. A temporary exemption. I'm going to say that again. A temporary exemption. It's also a charming or attractive trait or characteristics among disagreeable qualities for someone to possess grace. Amen. One can have grace and be graceful. Amen. Pleasing appearance or effect. Ease and suppleness and movement of bearing danced with such grace. So we clearly see it has something to do with charm and elegance. The one that I really liked here, it said, used as a title of address or reference for a duke, a duchess, or an archbishop. Certainly worthy of my Lord. Amen. And then it's also a short prayer for a meal, asking a blessing or giving thanks. But despite what Webster or Oxford or whomever or even the Urban Dictionary might have to say about grace, the one who invented grace would know better where grace abound. Now it says, here, grace means to get something that you do not deserve, an unmerited favor. So it's getting a favor as favor to have favor. Don't ask me to repeat that. Now, mercy, and I think that's important too, because I always say you can't have one without the other. Mercy means you do not get a punishment that you deserve. That you deserve. Can you imagine? So although we have grace, we still need mercy. Because despite the fact that we might get something that we may not deserve, unmerited according to this, we still need mercy because it's a punishment that we do deserve. So basically, grace and mercy says that we get something that we do not deserve, so we don't get what we do deserve. Amen? And it says that God is abundant in grace and mercy. And that's also found in his greatest acts of grace in the gift of salvation given unto us. Repeat. Given unto us. We didn't take it. Despite the fact that my Lord was on a cross and nailed and went through such suffering and hardships and beating and whipping and name calling and taunting and just horrific treatment that I know for a fact none of us can bear. And he wasn't able to bear it because he was God's son. He was, as we read in John 1, that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. But the Word became flesh. If we ever wondered why we call on the name of Jesus, it's because Jesus can understand what you and I have gone through, what we go through, and what we might have to go through in the future. He knows because he has experienced it in a manner probably greater than any one of us could ever imagine. And so therefore, he applied grace. We also read in John 1 that grace was given by God. So grace came down. Jesus was grace. But when you are feeling graceful and elegant and virtuous and all of those wonderful things, when you go through something, when you go through trials, when you go through tribulation, when you have heartache, when you have pain and you have anguish, whatever it is that you go through, when you're angry, when you're sorrowful, when you're mourning, when you're grieving, you notice you can't maintain gracefulness. You cannot maintain the stature of greatness. And so we need to get to the Lord and we call on the name of Jesus because we need grace to get us through. Grace is not something that we have. Grace is something that we receive. And do you remember in the definitions that I read, there was a part where it says it's a temporary exemption. You have to maintain grace. Amen? Now, grace comes in various forms, and we're going to look to the Word of God, and we're going to take a look at some of these scriptures because we need to fully identify God's grace. Because when Jesus came, he was full of grace. And I'm sure it is hard when he was going through what he went through to maintain that grace. We know in the seven last words of Christ that he would try to recoup his grace. And in every instance, he would do something that would be honorable or have virtue. But at one point, when he hit the gates of hell and the sins of the world were wrapped into him and he who had not sinned bore all the sins of the world was separated from the grace of God because sin will separate you from the grace of God. And when he did not have his grace anymore, he did what we would do, and he called out to the Lord, God Almighty, and said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? Only God can give you the grace. Only you remove yourself from this grace, and only you can call upon the name of Jesus to get this grace back. And once you have this grace, the Lord applies mercy. At the beginning, I said, so you can get something you do not deserve, so you won't have to take on something that you do deserve. We talked about, it said here in the dictionary, about assistance. It says a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. The assistance is important because we ourselves are not full of grace. We cannot maintain grace. This is why we need to be connected to the Lord at all times. And if you'll notice, when he left us, he said he would leave us with peace, his grace. And it was abundant. It was sufficient. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to get to the scriptures here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 9, it reads, three times I plead with the Lord, I pled with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly for my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We do not have anything. It says my grace is sufficient. It's his. It's not ours. He didn't give it to us and then we just kind of hold on to it and use it whenever we want. You have to be connected to the Lord to maintain that kind of grace. And it also says here, it says, he says, sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So when I am weak, he is strong. It is at that ultimate moment that you need grace. When you cannot maintain the grace yourself, you need to call on Jesus. He is grace. And when he gives it to you, that is the mercy. Because he could just leave you and leave you in your moment of pain, in your moment of suffering and sorrow and despair and anxiety. And he could leave you in depression. And he could leave you in so many forms that are so not of God. But because the Lord is grace and God applies mercy, he does not want to see us suffer. So when we say, Lord, help me, I call on the name of Jesus, grace comes. Remember, he's our intercessor. He does not want us to suffer because he knows what it's like to suffer. So God will apply mercy. And he totally said it is sufficient. It is right here. His grace is sufficient. So no matter what you're going through, there is grace and it will always be sufficient. When Jesus was on the cross and he was in the pits of hell, called on his Father, the grace was still sufficient. Now, with this grace comes much power. Amen? Because we already read that in John 1. In verse 14, it said, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from Father, full of what? Grace and truth. He's full of grace. It's not like an energy thing where if he gives out too much or he does too much or he just kind of tired, there's not enough grace. No, the grace is always sufficient. Always sufficient. Praise God. Now, grace also shows up in many different ways. This is what I like about it. Because in Acts 4:33, it reads, and with great power, the apostles, yes, were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You not only get sufficient grace, but the grace that you need when you are doing what the Lord has asked you to do will come. come with a different level of power and grace. We see it again in Acts 11, verses 22 to 24. It says, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, yes, I'm going to say that. When they came, they saw the grace of God. See, grace, can you put it in a box? Is it like the alabaster box that you could just put it inside and open it up? No. But I'm going to keep reading. It says, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. When he saw the grace of God, he would have seen the glory of God. He would have seen it in God's people. And when you are around God's people and you truly see grace and glory of God, it makes you feel even better and you feel more powerful. And you notice once he was pumped up, because they heard about this. Yes. When God's grace is present, amazing things happen. There is strength, there is power, there is so much that happens that people hear about it, they need to come and see it. They need to be amongst it. And then they can't help. Here's an example of how they can help themselves. Acts 14, 1 to 3, it says, now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. There's the grace again. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Yeah, these are the doubters. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. He said, who bore witness to the grace? The word of grace. So just speaking and being like Jesus, with Jesus, causes things to happen. And I repeat, this isn't something that we just have and we just kind of walk around and, you know, just real casual. There's a connection. You need to be plugged in. Amen? Now, here's about receiving grace. Remember, it came down. Grace came down. Amen. Praise God. And even when he himself didn't have grace, he needed to gather grace. And the gathering of grace began by him trying to apply grace by handing his mother another replacement son, by asking God to forgive those who do not know what they do. All of these things. His promise to the two thieves at the side on the cross beside him that today you will be with me in paradise. To apply grace even when it's little. And when it doesn't feel like you have enough, call on the name of the Lord. He called on God because he needed grace. Why have thou forsaken me? So now here, we read again in John 1, 15 to 6, 17. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen. And the word became flesh. Praise God. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. I'll read that again. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law that was given through Moses, grace and truth, came through Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Through Jesus Christ. Very important that we know this. we have this feeling that we think it comes other ways. And what better way for the Romans to signify it, because we know who set him up and crucified him on the cross. In Romans 1, verses 1 to 5, it says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was a descendant from David, yes, the line of David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. Yes, you know who this is. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. When you have grace and you walk with grace and you carry yourself with grace and your words maintain grace, things happen. People will notice. Things will be different because they know. And you have that power that was received from crucifixion. Grace was given to you. You need to apply it. It's important that you remember this. Now, there's tainted grace. It can get destroyed. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. If you have grace, you have to be mindful that it is used gracefully. Amen. Praise God. So, and now we have to understand that it was a gift. Remember, Jesus was that gift, the gift that keeps on giving, as I used to say. Jesus came down from heaven, and he was the gift as a baby. But there's another gift, and it's called eternal life. In Romans 3, verses 20 to 24, it says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, we know who that is, has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith. Remember to believe through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and was justified by his grace as a gift. I'll read that again. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It continues in Romans 5, 12, 21, and it continues to talk about grace. I don't want to read the entire thing, but again, we learn that God has given us this gift. And sin has been set free. Death will be defied in 3 days. Praise God. Where is thou sting? But grace, which is sufficient, and it says, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. Have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. That's what it says in there. The free gift. We need to make sure we understand that there is power to be given something that that you do not deserve, so you don't get what you do deserve. Jesus had to gather grace. We can't always have the grace. It may be there, but sometimes we're weak. And when we are weak, his grace is more than sufficient. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 9, basically wraps up everything you need to know. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, there's that mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. I'm going to read that again. By grace you have been saved. I have been saved. We have all been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Remember, you had to believe. And it concludes and says, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God's grace. If Jesus had to gather grace to get through, we need to know that we too can gather grace because it's truly sufficient. Don't let him suffer. Don't let him die in vain. When he gave you a gift, not just eternal life, but he gave you grace, use it wisely. Amazing grace.
sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever.
Amazing grace, gathering grace. Abraham Lincoln said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. If grace is sufficient and it's freely given and it's a gift, I certainly want to make sure I get all that I'm entitled to and surely know that when grace is there, mercy is applied. But you have to be tapped in to Jesus. You have to believe. And when you feel like you just don't think the grace is sufficient enough, call on the name of Jesus and gather grace. On behalf of my family and I, we want to wish everyone a blessed and happy Good Friday, and we will speak with you again on Easter Sunday when we can not only apply grace and mercy, but we get to see what else the Lord has given to us. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen, amen, and amen. You show how much you
friends were not there.